The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to One Session at a Time. It's your host, DJ Luz, and today we're going to be diving into the raw, unfiltered truth of what it's really like to grow up in therapy. No filter, just real life experiences and the journey of figuring it out, one session at a time. Welcome back to episode 6 of One Session at a Time. Today's episode is a little different and honestly really special to me. Throughout this podcast, we've talked a lot about therapy, self-awareness, and healing. But something I've realized is that the way we see mental health today is very different from how it was seen a generation ago. So I wanted to have a conversation with someone who can speak to that difference firsthand, my mom. She grew up in a time where therapy wasn't really talked about and mental health wasn't always something people felt comfortable acknowledging. In this episode, we'll talk about what that was like, how her understanding of therapy has evolved, and how perspectives among therapy truly differ. So, Mom, welcome to One Session at a Time. So, I wanted to start with your experience growing up. In terms of your family and community and the people you were surrounded by, how was therapy viewed when you were younger?
I don't think anybody talked about therapy when I was younger. It wasn't something that the general population did. We thought it was probably just something for people who had real mental illness, if they were going to go into an institution or something terrible had happened to them, not just going through a hard time in their life. So nobody talked about it.
And so I think that, you know, really speaks to the stereotype around therapy. I think in general, the word therapy can be scary and even something to be embarrassed about. But how did people around you talk about emotions, more mental health in general, even, you know, being sad, even if it were more extreme, how would they talk about that if they did?
Well, there weren't many conversations about that kind of thing. In my generation, people were just told, buck it up and, you know, don't be a wimp about things. So, you know, you had friends you would talk to about stuff, you know, you go to your parents, but there wasn't a lot of tolerance for needing help with that kind of thing. You were just thought that you could just go through life and just make yourself happy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you ever feel like you could openly talk about your emotions with your parents? Did you have that kind of relationship, or was that the environment that you were brought up in?
Well, I could talk to my mom about some things, but when I was a kid, my parents went through a really nasty divorce, and I just kind of closed down about things. And my brother was thought to be the one who was probably going through a harder time than me because he was the boy and he's losing his father. But my mother didn't realize that I was going through a hard time until she went to a parent-teacher conference that year. And the teacher asked her what was bothering me so much. Why was I chewing on my pencils all the time? And it was only then that my mom talked to me and realized that I was going through a hard time too. So it wasn't really something that was talked about. You were just supposed to deal with it yourself, even as a child, for the most part. Not that my mother wasn't comforting or stuff, but I was a pretty quiet child. I was very introspective, and I just would cry in my room at night and hope it was better the next day.
Yeah, and I think that's the reality that a lot of kids, I'm sure back then and even now, experience, which, you know, makes it hard to reach out for help. But I think, thinking more specifically, how did your mother, I guess, in this case, because you felt like you were able to talk to her, how was her reaction with that? Was she open and was she willing to listen? Or did she also kind of have the idea that you should be able to, you know,
deal with it myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. She would listen to a certain extent. I mean, if I was crying and really upset, she would, you know, talk to me about it and try to help me figure it out. But it was a short conversation because she was very busy. She was a single mom. She had two jobs. And I was just left there sort of on my own till I was a little older and we moved to a new neighborhood and I made a best friend.
And I think that leads into my next question. You know, a lot of people think that the only people that, you know, we might have are our parents, and sometimes they just aren't accessible. And so, you know, I've done it. I've reached out to friends, and you're saying that, you know, when you moved to this new neighborhood, you made new friends. And so were those eventually people that you could rely on and go to, you know, for how you were feeling, how your mental health might have been, and was that reciprocated in terms of them?
Yes, I was fortunate because my best friend lived across the street, and she also had a single mom who was gone a lot. So actually, I would sneak out of the house at night when my mother worked her overnight shift as a nurse and go hang out with my friend, and we would have tea and we would just talk about stuff. And not that we talked a lot about mental health, because that wasn't a conversation people had, but we would help each other solve our problems or at least talk about what was bothering us. And that, I think, made a big difference, because it wasn't just all bottled up inside of me. I could actually have somebody's opinion about things, and we would just talk things through. And that was great.
Yeah, and I think that friendships are a great outlet to have. You know, you're able to go to them, especially if they're accessible like your best friend was. You know, and you're validated, you're heard. But it does bring up the question of, did you think that was enough? I mean, you were going through family changes and just the general challenges of growing up as a kid. Did you feel that, you know, your friendship, talking to your mom here and there, was enough for you?
I don't think so. Not really. It was great to have my best friend, but she wasn't a therapist. She couldn't really give me solutions to things. We could just talk about things, and just talking about it sometimes is helpful. So it was helpful to a degree, but it wasn't like going to therapy by any stretch.
Well, that's a really important point too, is that, you know, as much help as you could be getting from people around you, therapists are trained professionals who do this for a living, and they're able to give you skills to help navigate through life, which I think as a kid, anyone really needs.
I agree, and I'm really glad that kids and teenagers today have that ability to see a therapist. It wasn't something that was really available when I was growing up, though. I didn't see a therapist until I was in my 30s, and I could have really used a therapist before that. But that was the first time I went to one, and it was helpful. It wasn't long term, it was just for a few months, but it helped me get over the hump with the problem I was dealing with.
And that part of your story, even though it happened, you know, years later from when you were a child and you were dealing with all these hard moments, is that therapy isn't always consistent. You know, you don't start as a child and you go through forever. You can stop, you can start at different parts of your life, different areas, and when you need it most. And so I think that's, you know, really important to highlight, is that people's stories within therapy, they differ. Some people start when they're 5, others start when they're maybe in their 30s, like you said. Because not everyone has the same opportunities as each other. You know, you didn't have the same opportunity as I did, where I went to school counseling for years, and when my problems started getting even bigger, I moved on to a therapist, which I went to go see for at least 6 years, and that was with 2 different therapists. And so I think this in itself really highlights how generations have different accessibility to things, and also how it's more openly talked about.
Agreed. And I didn't go back to therapy till years later, when my best friend passed away. And then I was open to the idea of going to therapy because I had done it once before. And it really, really helped me, because I was at wit's end and didn't know how to deal with all those emotions. So I found therapy at that point to be so wonderful, because for that hour a week, I could actually just let my guard down and talk about my feelings and talk about my loss. And it gave me the strength to go through the next week and be strong for everyone else. So it was really important to me at that time. And I did that for 6 to 8 months, maybe even a year. And I came through the other side, but I think it would have been super hard to do without actually seeing a therapist.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even going back to what we talked about is friendships. And in this scenario, you had actually lost a friendship. And so you didn't have that person to rely on. So I think that's where therapy, you know, can be so useful. And I wonder too, you know, as a kid, we go through things and we're kind of told it's part of the process, or as you were told, to buck it up. But, you know, later in life, when you're able to, you know, reflect and understand your emotions maybe a little bit better, and you do start to go to therapy, did it kind of give you more insight of the importance around mental health and reaching out when you know you could for once?
Yeah, I think it really did. And it also made me realize when I did get into therapy, how it would have been so much more beneficial to be able to see a therapist when I was younger and going through everything that I did. Because as a child, when you hide all those emotions and can't really express it, I think it really changes your perspective on life. And I think in some ways it affected some of my decisions and some of the way I look at the world. But it may be strong because I'm a strong person, but at the same time, I think if I had seen a therapist at that point, it would have been a lot smoother ride.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, the whole point of what having a therapist is about. You know, it's about having that transition, those challenges go by smoother. And so looking at the bigger picture, I guess, now is, you know, we've talked about differences in your childhood growing up, you know, growing resilience because of having to face every emotion and honestly do it by yourself. But in the larger picture, what differences stand out to you in terms of the generations? Like, what's different between now and then?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that therapy is really accessible now. When I was growing up, there were hardly any therapists. I think they had psychiatrists in hospitals and mental institutions, but there weren't family therapists that could help families deal with things, that could help children deal with their emotions. I'm sure there were some, but it was only extreme cases. It was not the norm. It was never something that my mother ever thought of offering us.
Yeah, and I think about that too. It's all about a change in accessibility. Nowadays, you can really find any therapist when you look up a therapist in the web browser, and probably 1,000 different options would come up. I mean, of course, you'd have to make sure they're qualified and a good fit, but the accessibility is super wide.
I agree, yeah. And I think it's a good thing. It's a great thing because then it really helps people deal with their issues before they get to be big issues.
And accessibility is a big part of it.
Yes, I think it's great that it's so accessible now. And I'm glad that you grew up in a time where therapy is accessible and where it's very common for kids and teenagers and adults to go to therapy. So there's not near the stigma it was when I was growing up. So I'm glad it was there for you.
And that's something that I've been so grateful for, is having that in middle school, having that when I got older, even just a few years ago. And it also gave me perspective not only of how useful, how beneficial, and how wonderful the people can be, you know, who I meet along the way, but it also gave me perspective of what I love to do and how, you know, I want to do the same thing that others did for me back then. And that's why I'm striving to be a therapist today. And more specifically, a child therapist. And to wrap everything up, what do you want listeners to take away from your story or, you know, this week's episode? Whether it's from your perspective in therapy, maybe growing up, or how things have changed.
So I would say to your listeners, if you're having problems that talking to a friend won't help, seek out a therapist, because it will make such a big difference in your life and make things go smoother, solve your issues so that you can get on with life and not feel alone. Just remember, help is always there when you need it.
Although I know we could talk for another hour, that's all the time we have for this episode. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Hearing your perspective today and what it was like growing up really does remind us how many different ways there are to view therapy and mental health, especially across generations. It shows how much of our upbringing, our environment, and the times we grow up in shape the way we understand things like healing and being able to ask for help. And I think that's what makes conversations like these so meaningful, because they remind us that everyone has their own perspective, their own experience, and their own journey when it comes to mental health. So, I'd like to thank my mom again for being here today, and thank you for listening. Remember to always take care of yourself, step by step, moment by moment, or as I like to say, one session at a time.